This is Steve Downs, the voice of Master Chief, Sierra 117, and you're listening to Podcast Unlocked, the world's number one Xbox podcast. Now, finish this fight. Master Chief, out.
What's happening, friends? Welcome to Podcast Unlocked. It's IGN's weekly Xbox show, episode 595. That, my friends, is a palindrome. I'm Ryan McCaffrey, joined, as always, to my left in San Francisco studio here by Stella Chung. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. I did the Xbox stream yesterday.
Yes.
And I got to
playing Jedi Survivor.
Yes.
How'd it go?
I got about 3 hours in, and oh my goodness.
It's so good, right?
Gorgeous.
So you hadn't played the game at all. You'd waited?
No, I waited, which is good, because the patch has made it playable. So I played it on PC, but I used a controller and everything.
Yeah.
Playing on Grandmaster, beat the first boss, which was kind of a pain in the ass. But that game is gorgeous. You get to your real planet. You're like, oh my God, what? So I'm very happy, and I have that whole adventure ahead of me.
I'm glad you had fun with it. I am a little more than halfway through,
to
the best of my knowledge.
Okay.
And I'm just like, this is one of those games where I'm just savoring it. Like, yeah. I know at some point it's going to be done and over, and I'm going to just move on to the next thing. I mean, it's going to be Diablo 4, spoiler alert. So I need to get it done before June 1st. But in the meantime, it's just... You know that good feeling when you just know you're in the middle of a game that is awesome, that you're having a great time with, and you're like, you just don't want to think about it being over. And you're just, so every night I've been chipping away at it a little bit and just having such a great theme is so good. I mean, it's basically evolved into the spiritual successor for Jedi Knight, which is, you may not have played back in the day, but Jedi Knight was kind of the first game to really make wielding a lightsaber fun and interesting and force powers. And Destin, are you Destin Legary? Hi, number one. Hello.
Hey.
Number two, are you playing Jedi Survivor?
I played a little bit of it, but this game came out called Zelda, and it really has its hooks in me.
Yeah.
I really like Tears of the Kingdom a lot. It's a special game.
It really
is. A game of the year contender for me, and in my opinion, I don't know how any game competes with it for my game of the year vote. It's that good. It just does something unique and new and interesting with Zelda, and But Star Wars is also really good.
Yeah, it is only May, but fair. I got Zelda and I was like, okay, I want to get through Jedi Survivor. I know Diablo 4 is coming up, but I have to just play a little Zelda just so I can not be completely left out of the conversation. And I can see where the love comes from, certainly. But then I just I gotta finish Jedi Survivor, or else I'm never gonna come back to it. So I think I would be very surprised if Jedi Survivor isn't one of IGN's 10 Game of the Year nominees at the end of the year.
It better be.
I mean, we're expecting a lot of awesome games in this year, and we've already gotten a number of them.
Yeah, well, we also thought Redfall was gonna be good. So.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we've had plenty. I mean, Resident Evil 4 Remake got a 10 from IGN.
God, I mean, lots of good stuff this
year. Hi-Fi Rush is going to get some consideration at the very least. We'll see if it cracks the final 10 on the IGN list come December. We've been already, whatever console you're playing on, we've been enjoying an awesome year
Wars,
so far.
Zelda, Diablo, Final Fantasy, Starfield.
Well, a lot of those aren't out yet. We'll see how those turn out.
I'm just saying, this year,
Hype
there's
factor.
Already what we've got, and then what's coming. It's going to be a stacked year for games, it looks like.
Yes, I can't wait to see what all ends up coming out. I mean, there's stuff like that I'm personally excited for, like Alan Wake 2. Is that going to land sometime this year? Like, hopefully? Because I adore Alan Wake from the original Xbox 360 release of it. And Destin,
You say Diablo's not out yet, but we played it five times.
So. And that's act one. So, but the thing is, every fiber of my gamer being and my games media professional being says Diablo 4 has a very good chance to be a 10. That is what my gut tells me. But Diablo 3, which, I mean, had its own problems, but Act 4, Heaven, the Heaven Act in Diablo 3 was bad. Like, you got to that and you were clearly like, oh, they had to just like finish the game. Yeah. So we don't know how the rest of Diablo 4 will be, but yes, having played Act 1 multiple times already, it's got a shot, I think, to be as good as anything this year, and which will, if it is, will make me extraordinarily happy. All right. Making Microsoft happy this week is some good news on the Activision Blizzard acquisition front. The European Commission, which is separate from the UK's CMA, has weighed in and approved the deal. This approval brings Microsoft's historic deal one step closer to completion. The European Commission announced on its website that it has approved the proposed acquisition under the EU merger regulation. The European Commission reached similar conclusions as the CMA that the deal would not harm the console market but could harm cloud gaming, but was satisfied with Microsoft's proposed remedies for these concerns. Microsoft's solutions appeared so effective to the EC that it now expects the deal will bring, quote, significant improvement to the cloud gaming market, a stark difference to the CMA's conclusion that saw it block the deal last month. Quote, the commitments offered by Microsoft fully address the competition concerns identified by the commission and represent a significant improvement for cloud gaming as compared to the current situation, was the statement from the European Commission. Now, before I go to our resident Activision Blizzard deal correspondent Destin Legarry reporting out of the Los Angeles area.
Yes. It does look like a reporter's desk.
Well, he is.
This is good. No,
yeah,
this
is perfect.
This.
We have to, the next
wore
piece
my
of
brightest
this,
shirt.
The next, you just need a tie and you're all set.
Yeah.
The next piece of this is the CMA's response to the European Commission. The CMA, doubled down on their no-go stance, saying, quote, the UK, US, and European competition authorities were unanimous that this merger would harm competition in cloud gaming. The CMA concluded that cloud gaming needs to continue as a free competitive market to drive innovation and choice in this rapidly evolving sector. Microsoft's proposals, accepted by the European Commission, would allow Microsoft to set the terms and conditions for this market for the next 10 years. They would replace a free, open, and competitive market with one subject to ongoing regulation of the games Microsoft sells, the platforms to which it sells them, and the conditions of sale. And the UK's regulatory body concluded that, quote, it stands by its decision while acknowledging with maybe a little shade right here that the European Commission was, quote, entitled to take a different view. Destin Legarry, you've been following this story closer than anyone at IGN. You, unlike me, have been able to resist the urge to just slam your head on the nearest desk or wall every time.
It's interesting.
This comes up. Yeah. So talk to me about your thoughts on this, because this is a significant milestone in this long deal here, this long story, but obviously we're not done yet.
Reading the EU's statement and their documentation about their analysis of the merger, they got it right, just like everybody else got it right, except for the CMA. The FTC wouldn't even talk to Microsoft. They just said, no, we're blocking.
Right.
So they never heard any arguments or anything. They didn't even talk to Brad Smith when he went into the office. They were just like, nope, we're blocking. So that never went anywhere. Brazil approved, everywhere else approved. It's like 36 countries or something now. It's a big number of approvals.
Yeah.
The CMA, they are going to go through the appeal process. Microsoft and Activision will be. And they've actually hired the Queen's former attorney to appeal the case. Yeah.
I just got Mrs.
I'll
Doubt.
See you in court.
The Mrs. Doubtfire flashback. Yeah.
That's all that was. It wasn't the Queen. So that was just Robin Williams' Mrs. Doubtfire voice.
Yeah.
I see. It's fine. Let's move on.
I see you also have Medela's comment, which I'll save for later, but
yeah,
that's
I was gonna
a
get
very
to that in a
important
second. Go ahead.
Note.
Continue.
The EU actually responded again calling out the CMA for once again getting their math wrong on the cloud gaming market, because they're including all Game Pass subscribers as cloud gaming users when only a very small percentage of Xbox Game Pass subscribers use the cloud gaming service. So that's why Vestager, the head of the EU, said, we just came to a different conclusion. They did agree that there is a competition concern in cloud gaming, but basically Microsoft is willing to give away a free license to their games if you purchase them in the cloud. So if you pay $70 for Call of Duty on the cloud, sure, you can play it on the cloud. They don't care, you know? It's really interesting, and that's for anybody who has a cloud gaming subscription type service, anyone. I don't see the issue that the CMA sees personally. They're the only place that has blocked it thus far that had been sitting down with Microsoft and discussing with them. Brazil had a ton of documentation. They were one of the first places like a year ago that approved it without concessions. Japan approved it, and Japan had the same documentation that the CMA had, who blocked, and they didn't see a concern. So it's very interesting, and I'm very excited for you to talk about what Satya Nadella said.
Yeah, we'll get to that momentarily. Yeah. Before I go to Stella, Destin, you mentioned Brazil and Japan. Yeah. Now, a cynic, or maybe a, I don't know if cynic's quite the right word, but I'll just go with it. You could say, well, Japan probably doesn't care because the Xbox is a non-factor there, but Brazil, on the total opposite end of the spectrum, the people, like, the Xbox is big down there, and maybe you know, does that weigh into these regulatory bodies at all if they actually bother to take the pulse of the people that they are appointed or elected to represent? Am I reading too much into that, do you think, in terms of the approvals in those other key markets?
Maybe you'd have something there if every other place hasn't also approved it.
Yeah.
Without concessions, because it was.
Yeah, it was a devil's advocate question. You're giving the correct answer right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like the CMA admitted they got their math wrong on the console market, and now they're being called up for getting their math wrong on the cloud gaming market. There is a concern there, but is it concern enough to block when the tribunal sees that the EU has approved the deal and that all those players are going to have access without any sort of restriction? The EU is going to be really, really happy, and the CMA is going to be like, we're sending a message to the world that we're closed for business. And actually, the CMA was just on the stand being grilled about this merger and how they came to this conclusion versus the EU, who approved it. And they're like, so how do businesses even come here if you're not going to allow these mergers to happen in our jurisdiction?
And we will come right back to that point about doing business in the UK and whether or not that's a viable thing in just a moment. But first, I want to get Stella's thoughts here on this latest plot twist.
Yeah. So I did write up on this, on the fix, I think on Monday. That's when it dropped, right? It's been a long week already.
A few days ago.
All right.
Yeah. So yeah, I wrote that. A 10-year licensing agreement for consumers in the European economic area. This commitment guarantees that Activision Blizzard games will not be locked to Game Pass or the Xbox cloud gaming platform. Instead, the cloud streaming service will be permitted a free license to provide these games to EEA users on their platform, and they can stream all current and future Activision Blizzard games they own a license for on any cloud gaming service of their choice. So Destin was talking about this, but that's huge.
Yeah.
Like, if I...
Free.
Yeah, if I were the CMA, I'd be like, you know what? This is like an even better deal than I ever thought that they would offer. This is amazing. But I don't know. For me, I'm not as into this discussion as you or Destin are. I don't have as much knowledge as Destin does, but I'm just like, this doesn't make sense to me. Why are they blocking this so hard? They went from, okay, this wouldn't be good for the console market, but now they're saying, oh, no, sorry, we meant the cloud gaming market. I'm like,
right.
Well, why are you not seeing, what are you not seeing? Like, what is the displacement here? So Yeah.
These are also guys, by the way, that in the form of the CMA that we didn't end up doing this story on Podcast Unlocked when it broke. We'd run out of time. But the CMA had said, Call of Duty can't run on a Switch anyway. And it's like, well, who the hell appointed you professional game developers? You don't know anything. Yeah. So that was another little sort of weird footnote for the CMA. All right, Destin. One more question before we get to Satya Nadella's comment that you've been teeing up here, because it is a really interesting comment from the CEO of Microsoft. But
oh, yeah.
Destin, do you think that the CMA is just trying to leverage... do you think they're trying to get as many concessions, like that they ultimately intend to approve this, but are trying to get as many concessions out of it from Microsoft so as to, in their view, seem as though they're serving the people of the UK as best they can?
No. And I say that because their denial... The odds of an appeal going through in Microsoft's favor are incredibly slim and rare. This has to go to the tribunal, and the tribunal has to have enough evidence to overturn their own division. These are very rare and very difficult cases that like often get denied. So I think in their mind the CMA thinks that they made the right call, and they're getting grilled for it. Yeah. Not just by other businesses. Well, other businesses are grilling them, their own government's grilling them. Nobody understands it. Like it's such a small sliver of the market. The concessions were okay for the EU now. You know, so this EU thing is putting a lot of pressure on them to explain their position here, because there's no issue with the areas where Microsoft is the strongest, being the console and, you know, PC markets. There's no issues with any of that. This is about cloud gaming, something that has a very small market share. It is growing, but we don't know what's going to happen with it in 5-10 years. And so like to answer your question, no, I think the CMA believes the cloud gaming angle. I don't think this is an angling to get more concessions, because they're going to look really, really bad if this does get turned over.
Yeah, you make a good point that the European Commission specifically puts some pressure on the CMA, public or otherwise, in the sense that that's their neighbors. You know, you got the right across the water. It's like they're all saying we're good with this. And now the CMA is literally on an island going, no. And we're totally right, you guys. You'll see. So, yeah, the appeal process will be interesting. Now, Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella was interviewed this past week and was asked if there is a possible scenario where Microsoft just doesn't sell certain products in the UK. And his response, now remembering that...
Not certain products, all Activision Blizzard games.
Right, which is certain products in their portfolio. So yes, everything Activision Blizzard.
Just to be clear. Sorry.
Yeah, thank you. And he said, with the caveat, you've got to remember, like, as honest as we like that Phil Spencer is, the CEO of any company is generally very careful about their words. Phil is too, but... it's even more of a calculated response to any question when you're the CEO of a trillion-dollar company, as Satya Nadella is. And in response to that, of whether or not Microsoft just pulls out, just doesn't sell Activision Blizzard games in the UK, Satya Nadella said, quote, "Let's wait for it all to play out," which is a really, really interesting door that's being left open here, Destin.
Yeah, you highlighted here in the show notes that they're just talking about Activision Blizzard games. It's bigger than that. Microsoft could pull out, all of Microsoft, and that has, you know, security implications and you know, they could just stop updating Windows. They could do whatever they want. They're a business. It's like, oh, you don't want us here? All right, we'll pack up our bags and leave. And it depends on how hard they want to play ball, right?
That's, I mean, that's the nuclear option, Stella. I mean,
that's a pretty extreme one.
You know, Microsoft has been fighting for market share, fighting to grow the Xbox business. Is this deal worth pulling the Xbox, potentially some or all of the Xbox business out of the UK entirely? No longer selling consoles there, no longer selling games there. Now, I don't know what the digital piece of that would look like, if you could still just go ahead and download games or how that would work, but even just the idea of that sounds insane. And I'm not, I say that with no judgment, just it's like the magnitude of that is wild to comprehend.
Yeah, it's pretty serious. I mean, yeah, that way that the way that you read the quote, it's very ominous, right? Like,
I mean, you know, those are that's me reading it, not him. But he was, you know, that's if you watch the clip,
it. I mean, no, that's
he didn't say it like, let's wait for it all to play out. It wasn't quite like that, but it also wasn't.
It may as well
he said it with like, a smirk.
I mean, honestly. I don't know. That's a big play, though. Like, they can do it. I don't know if it would be smart to you, but they can. It certainly would not be a great look for Microsoft, especially with all of the discussions around Xbox right now.
Yeah. Oh, Sony would probably have a field day.
Oh, yeah. That, absolutely. Right? Like the little war they had going on where they, each of them were playing like, oh, we're just small right. businesses.
It's competing to see who can have like the smallest penis, right? Like, well, no, it's look, we're nothing. It's fine.
But then Sony would be like, oh, well, we would never, you know. So that would just fuel the war even more, I think.
Destin.
I think you're right, and I think Stella's right. I think they go the initial route, and they potentially pull Activision Blizzard games out of the UK, or just I think they have to like do something unique where those games just aren't on Game Pass, but they are everywhere else in the world. I'm not clear on their options there, but people smarter than me have talked about what they could do in regards to the Activision portfolio in just that one territory. And think about it, how much would they lose on Activision games in that jurisdiction? I don't know how well they sell there, but if you're making $6 billion, you got to sacrifice $1 billion, you're still making $6 billion.
Sounds like you're making $5 billion.
Well, if you're making $7 billion, you sacrifice $1 billion. You're still making.
Did he say six and one? Yeah. Maybe I misheard it.
I was thinking six everywhere else, and then $1 billion in just the UK. You know.
Whatever. Math is, you know, we went to math's journalism hard. School and communications and we're not mathematicians here. I mean, Destin, is that like, is that worth not only the, as you mentioned, just the actual, like the trade-off of sacrificing business there, but also the sort of PR hit, the, you know, the damage to the reputation, to the brand, you're gonna upset like
I don't think it's a PR hit at all.
You don't think so?
I think it's a PR hit for the CMA, because what Microsoft will do is like, your government said you can't have games here. Write to your parliament or whatever they have over there and say we want Call of Duty back, so their constituents, or again whatever it's called in the UK, will be mad as heck because they just took their games away.
So I agree with you that of course the anger, the frustration would be from customers should be directed at the CMA in that case. But the reality is, for every one of us who's like a core gamer following this stuff all the time, there are 20 other gamers who don't follow this stuff and just suddenly like Call of Duty comes out and they just can't get it. And they're going to be mad at Microsoft, whether that's fair or not.
I don't think so.
Oh, I think so.
I think so too.
I think so.
No, we forget about the
base. I'm not blaming Microsoft here. I'm just saying that is
we're forgetting about the core, very casual audience where, like, you know, a lot of people just like, oh, new game came out. Like, let me buy this for my kid or whatever, right? Like, or maybe they're just like, oh, I haven't played in a while. Let's get this game. It's like, oh, I can't get it anymore. What happened? Why?
Yeah.
Like, oh, Xbox doesn't sell it on there anymore.
Or even if it doesn't go that extreme, even if it's like Destin was saying, maybe it's just this stuff's not on Game Pass.
Then. Yeah.
If you have Game Pass because you've heard from your friends online, whatever. Microsoft. They bought those. I read about that in the Wall Street Journal or whatever the UK equivalent of the Wall Street Journal is. Sort of the financial paper. And then you have your Game Pass sub and you're like looking for Call of Duty on there in November. You're like, well, wait, where's Call of Duty? And then find out it's not on there. Like, well, wait, now I got to pay $70 for this. Now some people might be like, okay, I guess, but other people are going to feel like, well, wait a minute, why? This is why I have this Game Pass thing. So it may be unjustified, but I think Microsoft's going to get a lot of frustration directed their own way from their customers in the UK on this.
I would see that only because people would be like, I wish you didn't buy Activision so I could still have my game. But Microsoft's argument's going to be like, we want to give you your game. Your government told us we're not allowed to, you know, and they're already running advertisements in the subways and everywhere else over there. So like you see this everywhere. And some of our friends who are over there have even said, yeah, Microsoft's doing a huge advertising blitz in our areas so that people know what's going on with this. So I think it'll be fresh in people's mind. They could run commercials on television. They could run ads online, write to your congressman. Dish Network just did this. And they do this in the US. They did it in the UK when the government stepped in and pulled their things. You just see these ads all the time and they're like, hey, we want to give you this service, but we can't because the government said no. Here's how you can help this along or help this happen.
Yeah.
So Microsoft would definitely do some PR damage control in terms of advertisements.
Yeah. I think that would be key for them to spend if they need to spend on getting that message out that like, hey, this is the CMA's fault. This isn't our fault. So, you know, go take it up with them. Although at that point, like you said, Destin, so where do you think this is going to go in the end? Because, you know, I know we've been asking that all along. We've been kind of giving our best guesses and hypotheses as to what's going to happen here. But now we're at the point where, as you said, we have a lot of approvals from a lot of different territories. We have this latest one, the European Commission. We have the CMA has blocked it. Microsoft will appeal. We have the FTC the FTC sued Microsoft, correct? Not the other way around?
I believe so. Mm-hmm. It goes to trial in August anyway.
Yeah. So what do you think is the most likely outcome now, Destin, now that we're down to just two holdouts, but they're really significant holdouts?
Deal goes through. I stand firm that this deal gets done. It's very clear that Satya wants it, that Microsoft wants this to happen. They're about to hit their $3 billion deadline. Microsoft wants this. Activision wants this. They get this deal done. They have $1 trillion. Like, they're going to figure out a way to do it. And there are other things that they can do in the UK. Like there's a business thing where they can do where they build some sort of independent thing, I believe, that would be an option for them. I think there's other outs for them, even if the deal gets blocked by the CMA and the FTC. If it gets approved everywhere else, they don't have to wait for the FTC trial to happen. They could finish the deal without the FTC's approval. They actually don't need it. So it would still be pending a trial, but they can push it through regardless. So yeah, I think they get the deal done.
How about you, Stella? Now that we know what we know thus far, where do you think we're headed here?
Well, okay. So who all needs to approve this in order for this to actually happen?
The big ones are the CMA, the EU, right, and the FTC. The FTC is sued to block, and their case is very, very weak. to the point that they're making up terminology.
And it's being heard in August. You've destined yeah, told us.
It's being heard in August. So there's a lot of subpoenas and yeah. a lot of details. The EU's approved it. Everywhere else has approved it without concessions, which means they don't care if they make all the games exclusive, even though Microsoft has promised that they won't. So.
Yeah, I mean, once all that, it might take a while. Like, just getting the appeal could take like 2 years. So I feel like maybe we'll get tired. The FTC will be like, yeah, I guess it's been 2 years, whatever. Like, I'm tired of taking this fight. Maybe it goes through. I'm like 70% into saying yes, it's going to go through. But right now it's just, I don't know. There's just so much. It keeps going back and forth. We're just like, oh, they got approval, but also still the CMA is saying no. So right now I'm like 70% on the, it gets approved.
Destin's pretty confident. You're reasonably confident. I'm at the point where I still don't know what to think. I honestly don't. It's, because I just really, if I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of a gamer in the UK. And I just really, really don't like the idea of Microsoft not offering on some level, whether it's entirely or just on Game Pass. I just really don't like the idea of restrictions on Activision Blizzard games if I'm a UK gamer, mm-hmm. a UK Xbox gamer. So that part of it, I can't reconcile yet. So I don't know. I don't know where this is going to go. You know, the FTC situation. So I guess August is going to be the time for that. If the FTC loses its lawsuit, then I feel like it'll be inevitable. I think that would be a big enough domino where this will happen, even if it means there are restrictions that need to happen in the UK. But if the FTC wins its lawsuit, then I don't know if we're just back to this isn't going to happen or what. I know, Destin, you were saying that Microsoft could forge ahead with it, but if the FTC sues and wins, that sounds like it's blocked.
It will be blocked in the UK. I don't know what their recourse is if they lose the appeal.
I mean, I'm talking about the FTC in this moment.
Oh, if the FTC sues and wins?
Yeah, in the U.S. here.
I have no idea what their recourse is if they lose to the FTC. But the judge has already asked if the FTC has discussed proposals with Microsoft, to which the FTC said no. Largely, they were waiting to see what happened with the CMA and the U.K., and I thought they would settle. There is still an mm-hmm. option for the FTC and Microsoft to settle. And then politically, the FTC gets a big win. Oh, look, we made big tech bend the knee.
Yep.
You know, it's like what Michael Pachter has said.
Right.
And that looks good for them. It looks like, oh, they're really putting the screws to big tech in the US at a time when we're about to go into a recession, but whatever. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see. But this is a notable checkpoint in this long and ongoing process. The European Commission says, thumbs up, we are signing off on this. Next up, so there's a little leftover I couldn't get to last week, but it's too good to pass up for now. And that is Starfield got its ESRB rating. And what's in that ESRB rating that's just... You know, should put a smile on your face. So the ESRB, which of course gives parental ratings to all video games, Starfield's getting an M for mature for, quote, blood, strong language, suggestive themes, use of drugs, and violence. Okay, we've kind of used to that in a lot of big games. But there's some details within this where they break down why they, you know, the specific reasons that they have attributed the M rating. It confirms the ESRB rating confirms that Starfield's, quote, an open world role playing game in which players assume the role of a minor, not minor, not a child, a minor, someone that actually goes into the ground and extracts valuable resources, tasked with finding artifacts across the galaxy. The next bit of text describes some more standard features, including that Starfield allows for first and third person perspectives, which we have become accustomed to from Todd Howard's games, and that it will feature character interactions, quests, futuristic guns, lasers, axes, and explosives, among other things. The ESRB's rating summary then gives some examples of the suggestive material in the dialogue that players will find in the game, specifically after they share a bed with another character. Quote, the game contains some suggestive material in the dialogue, and after sharing a bed with characters, as an example, this is apparently a line of dialogue from the game, life is a sexually transmitted disease that's 100% fatal.
Oh my God.
Which, I know, it's... I don't want to pile on the writers because it's being taken wildly out of context, and it, you know, we don't know if that's it, if it's intended to be funny, in which case, you know, it's, or if it's actually supposed to be a dead serious line in the game that we will all end up laughing at.
Yeah.
But yes, life is a sexually transmitted disease that's 100% fatal. Another example, piece of dialogue here. I'm all for getting a little wild, but next time, let's try it without the jetpacks. And then talk about seeing stars. Whew, that was amazing.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So again, we don't have the full context there. We don't know if there's like, I mean, what, just.
You can't even get the words out.
Start, you know, jetpack sex.
Whenever someone... I'm being romantic with my wife, I have a one-liner queued up for afterwards, right. You know?
Stop! Oh my God.
Oh my God. This is, yeah. So, you know, I don't know what to make of this. Stella, make sense of it. Please make sense of it.
I mean, I don't know. See, at first I was like, oh, they're like talking the ratings. Let's talk about violence. Like, is there going to be like, you know, limb severage and stuff? Because that's what we wanted with like Jedi Survivor and stuff. And then,
it is awesome to chop arms off of Jedi Survivor, by the way.
It is good. Great. The first execution took me by surprise. I was like, oh, yes.
You don't need two arms.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, cool, Starfield. It's like, and I actually just did play through Fallout a little bit, Fallout 4, and I was like, oh yeah, so excited. And I'm thinking about dialogue lines. I had, so I did Romance Hancock in Fallout 4, and it was really cute. I was like, this is awesome. You know, obviously there is like the implication, like when you do sleep, like you sleep together or whatever. I don't remember there being any like specific lines regarding like one liner after. But I do remember like saying something like, oh, next time, maybe like don't hog all the blankets or something like that. Right. Like it was tame. So I don't know. It's interesting. I think this is going to, my hope for this game is coming back up, and I kind of hate that. Cause like, I like to temper expectations, you know, but I mean,
I am so like, this just gave me a good laugh. It didn't really affect my hype level, but I am so excited for this video game.
Yeah.
I just like, the 10 months has been put to good use, presumably entirely on polish.
Yes.
You know, we did hear Phil on that XCast interview that we talked extensively about last week, that Phil had said, well, we were able to throw a lot of help at Bethesda to help polish the heck out of it. So this game, if it is the best of an Elder Scrolls or a Fallout game combined with the best of No Man's Sky, because it, yeah. I mean, we all got No Man's Sky vibes from it when we had that big gameplay reveal at E3 or the showcase last year, then we're talking about a video game that is going to just be incredible if it's the best of those things.
Yeah, so this... You say this didn't do anything like particular for you, like it just made you laugh, which
yeah.
So for me, Fallout 4, part of the charm of that was just the dialogue and just how much personality each character had, right? And with the previous Starfield preview, what we got was just a lot of look at the mechanics, like, hey, look right. at all these things you can do, you can talk to these people. So this just kind of gave me a little bit more of a look into like the personality the game has. So that's why it makes me feel more excited, because I'm like, oh, you are taking some things with brevity and it's going to be really funny
and not completely serious all the time.
Yeah, because that's what we got, because it was like this, like, you know, like this stark background with
that's
your
a good
silvery
point.
Ship. And I'm like, okay, that looks very uniform and, you know, with like star exploration and such. But then like this is like, oh, this is the personal, this is the spin that they have that makes it very specific and personalized to like your playthrough. So that makes me feel a little bit more happy about going through this RPG and playing it.
I'm just picturing like my character, like the fades to black, comes back up, laying in bed with whether it's like a human or an alien or whatever's going on, you know. Sweet. We've all played Mass Effect, okay?
Yeah, you're right.
And it's just like smoking a cigarette going, I'm all for getting a little wild. But next time, let's try it without the jetpacks.
Oh my God.
Ryan, you should do VO work.
That is my dream. I will do any voice in any game. I want to check that off my career bucket list before I either am not allowed to do this anymore or I am too old to do this anymore. I want to be in a video game as voicing something. I don't,
even if it's a line about jetpack.
I don't care. I will do anything.
Okay.
It just would be so much fun. Our friend Elena got to be, Elena Yee. Alana Pierce. Alana got to be in Gears of War, and Greg Miller's gotten to be in stuff. Like, I want to be in something. Anyway, that's who, no one cares about me. Let's move on to what Destin thinks about the ESRB situation with Starfield and these lines of spicy post-coital dialogue.
That one's not so bad. Some of them are pretty rough. So,
oh, there's more that came out?
Well, no, Ryan said a few of them here on the show.
I guess, yeah.
But we don't have the context of how they're delivered. Are they being delivered tongue-in-cheek, like goofy style, which I imagine they are? Fallout 4 had a lot of that charm. And if there's one thing I'm not that worried about, it's the writing. Like, the Bethesda team has consistently written incredibly amazing stories in all their games. So like, I'm worried about the performance or crashes or like some save bug that's going to bite it in the butt. I'm not worried about the writing. I'm not worried about the RPG mechanics or like the cool loot that you can get.
Yeah.
I'm good.
What do we got here? Oh, there's more here, Destin. So the summary goes on to describe a fictional drug called Aurora that will be prominent in the game and states Starfield will feature a section with players' characters working in an illicit drug lab. See, this is... you were talking about it, Destin, but because I'm so with you. Like, Oblivion is my favorite Bethesda Game Studios game. Even though Starfield is... Excuse me. Skyrim is arguably a better game mechanically than Oblivion is.
Yeah.
The level scaling stuff that people were, you know, not always happy with in Oblivion's not there in Skyrim. And but for me, like stuff like this, that the player character gets to work in an illicit drug lab. Aurora can be stolen or purchased from vendors. Using Aurora will result in a distortion effect on the screen. If there's like a whole cool like side quest thread of like running an Aurora drug lab, like that, that reminds me of stuff like the Thieves Guild quest line in Oblivion. And there's just Bethesda, to your point, Destin, about you know, you said you're not worried about the writing. The quest work in the Todd Howard games has always been really, really good. So if we're going to get to go do stuff like running an illicit drug lab, that sounds awesome to me.
They've given us hints about it already. It's called Neon City. They found a fish there that had psychotropic effects, and they ended up manufacturing a drug. So it's sort of like a Las Vegas where anything goes, right? What happens in Neon City stays on Neon City. So I think your dream of running a drug lab could come to fruition. Congratulations.
Maybe not voice acting, but you know, the dreams of running the drug lab, that's going to get checked off this year.
We'll take care
Somebody
of that.
Clip that without the context, please. And just...
Your dream of running a drug lab.
Oh, is that going to be a cold open?
Well, you know, I do live in San Francisco, so it's not much of a
threat. Oh, my God.
Well, that's another conversation. All right. So we are looking forward to Starfield. We have the Starfield Direct immediately following the Xbox Showcase. June 11th, right here on IGN. We will be live with you. Miranda will be back, I promise. So the reason Miranda doesn't hate us, as far as I know, she is as the head of our wikis and guides team. As you might imagine, it's been quite a rush lately, but particularly Zelda, especially being a 100 plus hour game that is taking the entire gaming world by storm. She has just not been able to get unchained from her desk to come do Unlocked with us here. So we do miss her, but we should have her back next week. But for the showcase, we will be live with you, all four of us. I think, are you coming down to LA for that? Yes. I think we're all going to be there together on set rather than having one poor Destin stuck in a picture in picture. So we're looking forward to that.
I don't mind. It's nice here. I got my shrimp in the background.
Plus he gets to wear shorts under, you know, right? We only see head up.
Right. So like
we
don't... Am I wearing pants? Doesn't matter.
I'm wearing pants?
It's like a Saints Row created character going on over there where looks totally normal from the waist up, but from the waist down, anything goes. Hey, remember Saints Row? Remember that?
That was such a fun game.
Well... Last one, not so much.
Oh, I didn't.
It was fine. I don't know. It was that reboot just didn't quite
was
get
it
there.
Fine though.
I don't think we're gonna be seeing another one anytime soon. Yeah. Be my guess, but I want to see that team go back to Red Faction. That's what I want to see that team do. The Volition crew, they've gone back to the Saints Row well, and that seemingly didn't quite work out. Mm-hmm. Let's see Geomod 3.0 and see what kind of environmental destruction technology they can create. Anyway, that brings us to... So yeah, join us for, of course, the showcase and the Starfield Direct right here on IGN and with the Unlocked crew. Let's do some trivia. We will start by mentioning that it comes from Trevor in Vancouver Island, Canada. He has the very excellent gamertag. I think he's had questions make it onto the show before because this gamertag looks familiar.
I recognize that.
Trevor's gamertag is Pillar of Awesome. Shout out to that excellent gamertag, excellent Halo reference. And Trevor asks this. The Xbox, Microsoft back in the day released exhibition discs, which included demos to showcase upcoming Xbox games. Fun fact. All those demos would debut at official Xbox magazine, and then Microsoft packaged them up later and put them out as these exhibition discs. The first disc came out in 2002. Which of the following demos was not included on that first Volume 1 exhibition disc? Was it Voodoo Vince demo, Panzer Dragoon Orta demo, a demo of Splinter Cell 1, or demo of Toe Jam and Earl 3? I remember all four of these games very well from my OXM days.
I really miss these, by the way. Just like little slices of games. Like I remember playing, I know they're PlayStation games, but like Eco and Final Fantasy X on those demo discs. And I bought both of those games because they give you just enough to get an idea of what to expect from the property without giving you too much. I really miss... company is doing that. Yeah. It's just a thing of the past, though.
I like having been so close to it in the Xbox space with being on OXM, and we would know, like, we would get excited when the word would come in, like, we're getting the Splinter Cell demo. I was there for that.
Yeah.
Like we're getting, and we just knew like people are going to like, we would get a build of it in the demo build. And we knew right away, like Splinter Cell was going to be, I'm just calling out, I don't know, I'm choosing Splinter Cell because I love Splinter Cell, but we knew right away, like this game is going to be, this is going to be awesome. This is going to be huge. And then we would so look forward to, you know, we would put the magazine to bed, and then it would take like 2 or 3 weeks for it to be printed, shipped, and then you'd start seeing the forum posts from people, that's the first so few cool. people getting the magazines, yeah. and they'd be like, the demo, the Splinter Cell demo, is it's incredible. And it was just, that was such, to your point, Destin, that was such a fun time in the Xbox yeah. space. And now, of course, just as you said, demos effectively don't exist at all.
Yeah.
We know there are good business reasons, more actually not business reasons, more development reasons mm-hmm. for why that doesn't happen. But anyway, all that is to say, let's wind back the clock to 2002 and Xbox's Exhibition Disc Volume 1 that they released that was just a collection of demos. Which one of the four games that I mentioned was not included on Exhibition Volume 1? Destin, I'll go to you first here.
Man, this was really tough. Like, Panzer jumps out at me as a yes. Splinter Cell, yeah, because those were pretty early games, if I remember correctly. I feel like Voodoo Vince is the red herring, because that's also the game Phil Spencer played with his son. But it was an early... So I'm going to guess Voodoo Vince.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stella?
He has a son, right?
I think
his daughter? I think he said, I don't know. Yeah. We
might be daughter. I don't remember.
It's probably, you know.
We're not Facebook
friends. We don't know.
So.
Yeah. We don't.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Or whatever it is now. I don't know. I'm old.
I was also looking at Voodoo Vince, but I don't know. Maybe D?
Yeah. Do you want to throw your lot in with this guy?
Maybe D would have been my second guess, Stella. So
I think, yeah, I know. I think D, because like I was like, these two, Panzer and Splinter Cell, they make sense to be on that. So I don't know. I think D.
Okay. Let me just.
Ryan's getting his phone out.
I'm pulling up the score.
Gotta add a point.
I am gonna add a point. So
please not Dustin.
the
I have a commanding lead.
The way to suss this out was to be old enough like me to remember when all these games came out.
Okay.
Toe Jam and Earl, 2002 game.
Okay.
Splinter Cell, 2002 game.
Okay.
Okay.
Panzer Dragoon Orta, 2002 game. Voodoo Vince, 2003. The correct Zeldust.
There was
no demo for Voodoo Vince in 02. The game didn't come out till 03. So Destin, you're the winner this week.
Dang it.
Yeah.
Well done. Xbox
was the console that got me back in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Destin has a whole 2 points, which somehow is May 17th.
Oh my God.
And Destin's in the lead with 2 points. You are all embarrassing.
Oh, and I had a baby.
Well, my wife had the baby. Okay. All right.
We got to pick up the pace, is what I'm saying.
I was out for maternity leave for like a year, it felt like.
No, we had so many opportunities, but also I think there were outages and stuff. So
it's true. God. No judgment here. It's sometimes these questions are.
Let me write these down so I have excuses when I lose at the end of the year.
Right.
Oh, my God.
I was gone for the baby. Oh, okay. And...
Ooh, Miranda's our reigning champion, right? From last year.
Yeah, she won last year. I haven't won for two or three years now.
Miranda and I are one.
Yes.
One. Okay.
So it was Miranda who won before that. Was it you, Stella?
No, I
the year before
that.
I can't remember who won.
Might have been you, and then Brandon Tyrell won a couple times.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I took one home.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end. Oh, I guess I should just say, I should solicit some more good trivia questions. Send them in. The email address is unlocked@ign.com. Include, of course, your question, 4 multiple choice answers, note the correct answer in your email, and don't forget your name and your gamer tag as well, and we'll play again next week. All right, that'll bring us now officially to the end of episode 595. I'm on Twitter at DMC Ryan. If you would like to reach out and tell me how horrible I am or how great I am, whatever the case may be, because I got some of both on last week's show, which I feel like we had that means we we had a good discussion. So we had plenty of people agreeing. It wasn't, people weren't mean. We had plenty of people agreeing with us last week. Plenty of people didn't agree with us. So that's good. That's the mark of a healthy discussion, I think. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's where you can find me on Twitter. I will say this, tomorrow, so Thursday morning, 6 a.m., we have an exclusive extended cut of the Lords of the Fallen debut gameplay trailer that's dropping tomorrow. This is an Unreal Engine 5 game. I saw this game behind closed doors at GDC. You've all seen the tech in action from the Unreal, what was that? The Unreal Showcase or whatever that was called. State of Unreal. There was the tech thing. That video has 1.2 million views on IGN. Like, this is one of the first like major AAA Unreal Engine 5 games. And it's, you're going to want to see this video game. I mean, it seems like it's one of the better, going to be one of the better Souls-like. So check that out exclusively on IGN starting tomorrow, Thursday. Stella.
Yeah, you can find me everywhere at Parallax Stella. I'm currently playing through Zelda, which I was very shocked that I actually liked, but it's mostly me just messing around with building things. But I'm also now starting Jedi Survivor, so if you want to watch me play on Grandmaster difficulty, you can do that on my Twitch channel, which I stream at like 6 p.m. PST every night. So yeah.
Plug the Twitch channel.
Oh, yeah. Twitch.tv/ParallaxStella.
Destin.
Yeah, if you like reading legal documents, man, you got to check out youtube.com/TheDestin channel. I love it because it gives me great information to present here on Unlocked. And really, I read the court filings for the most part. But so that's sort of fun. Over on IGN, it's a lot of prep. Like, there's the big PlayStation stream that was just announced today and things like that. So... actually, this week, my op-ed. I'm doing the op-ed this week. I'm really excited about it. So I'm on this week and next week. So you'll see those coming in the coming days. So be sure to check those out on IGN and cookies@legarybakery.com.
Excellent.
Don't follow me on Twitter. I just SHIT post all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I guess that's a good reminder, too, before we leave, that if we now, one of the four of us, does a weekly Unlocked column on IGN that's sort of just putting some Xbox thoughts out there. So be sure to look. We actually have a column, like row, a block on the homepage where you can find, it's like a fixed spot where you can find the different columns that we do. So be out on the lookout for those every week. And we will see you next week for Unlocked 596 as we inch closer to both the showcase and to episode 600. Until then, I'm Ryan for Stella, Destin, and our super producer, Red. We will see you next week.